This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. If you're looking to spice up your game day grub, reach for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce. Flavor favors the bold. That is also who brings to you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. How's it going there?
We're doing well. I saw what you said last night, obviously, about it's too early to panic, and that made a lot of sense to me when it comes to the bullpen. I'm curious, is it panic if you move Leclerc not always in the ninth inning role? Like, is he going to stay there, or do you think moving him is a reasonable response because of the last few games, or does that count as panic?
Well, I think that's a fair question, sure. Mike Maddox and I are just sitting here talking. As we were waiting for your call, I didn't know if my phone was on airplane mode. I had no idea how airplane mode. That's why it was going to voicemail, so I apologize for that. But, yeah, these are things we're talking about now, light and load on him until he gets his good command back, and it's not quite there. So, it's a week in the season, but at the same time, sometimes you have to adjust – sooner than you anticipate during the course of a season. So we're talking about this, but and I'll just give you a situation. I mean, last night we talked about, okay, Nate's got first and third. He's getting up there, two outs. We want to cover him, take care of him. Well, it's hard not to bring in one of your guys throwing well, who we brought in, Robertson versus Leclerc, because the game's on the line there. So this is going to be up to us to find the right pocket, so to speak, and in the right situation. It may be in a blowout game to where he can go out there and work on some stuff and not have every pitch on the line. So these are things we're talking about now.
When you talked about Leclerc's control, I'm curious, over the years, I'm sure the answer can be both, but with all the pitchers you've dealt with, when someone struggles with control, do you feel like it's usually – a physical thing? Is it more likely to be a mental aspect that's leading to that?
I think both. I do. I think that's what you look at. Confidence is so important to a pitcher. With confidence comes conviction on the pitch that you're throwing. And right now, even though we just won a world championship, these guys are human. They want to have success now. And so that's what we're looking at, see if we can find something. You look at his velocity, it's 94-95. Yeah, last year, probably just a tick higher than that. But that'll work if he's getting ball where he's trying to throw it, and that's not happening right now consistently. He'll have a hitter where he just dominates something, and then the next hitter, he's kind of all over a little bit. And so, anyway, that's our job as coaches to help make these guys better.
Marcus Semien, I feel like we're going to see him try to play 162, every chance he gets to go out there and be out there. But I am kind of, you have the ability to kind of move a little bit with Corey Seager, have him have a couple off days, and your outfield, the depth you have there, you have some abilities to juggle that just a little bit. And does that make it a more of a luxury or more complicated when you have these opportunities to move guys around and give guys some rest? And then also you have these injuries pop up where you're like, well, now we got to add this guy in.
Well, I look at it as a luxury. I do. It's going to enable to keep these guys fresh. I mean, we're what, 10 days in the season, whatever, and 11 maybe. It's nice to, to have the ability to give guys days off and feel like you're putting a really good competitive team that can win out there. And last night, for example, I mean, you look at our infield, really had one guy out there that started on our team last year, but mm-hmm. They played well. Smitty had a heck of a game. They kind of got unnoticed. First time up, left-hander out there, drives in Marcus. Next time, perfect bunt. set up first and second, a great rally. So it's nice to have, you know, the depth that we have now. It's going to just make us stronger. We just need to, you know, stay away from any more injuries. I am going to give Langford a day to day. He's been in every game. Granted, most of them I've been DHing, but he's got a little tightness going on with the back. He'll be fine. And, you know, one day we think that will clear up. He'll be back out there.
Evan Carter hit the home run yesterday and had so many big at-bats last year. And you didn't see a lot of emotion from him last year in the playoffs. He just kept playing the game and just was, hey, it's baseball. I'm just playing baseball. Yesterday, a lot of emotion after that home run rounding first base. Was that just kind of a release of frustration or just an excitement of hitting a home run late in the game?
I think both. I think he's excited how he's swinging the bat right now. And, in fact, he hit a home run. But you look at, you know, the timing of that home run. They just tie the game, and we come back and take the lead with his home run. So, yeah, no doubt I think both of them came into play there. And but when you get off to a slow start like him, it's going to feel good to start having some results. And, of course, hit a home run and put you ahead late in the ball game.
And then I'm going to go back to, I know I was only 19 years old, I was out of high school, but I can remember just my first full season in the minor leagues going, holy crap, this everyday thing is a lot. Is that a little bit with, I know Langford, you know, went through college baseball, but you're playing Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I know it's very early in the season. Is his body just adjusting to, holy crap, we're playing every day?
I think a little bit. I think he got a taste of it last year, so it wasn't like, he hasn't done it, and he is DHing quite a bit. But with that said, he's probably working more as a TH. As you know, you're sitting there. Well, it's hard to, for a young guy, you know, with his energy after an at bat, just sit there. So what's he going to do? He's going to go to cage and hit. So he's probably, you know, getting more work in on a DH day versus even playing left field. So, and that's where he's going to have to, you know, learn how to, you know, handle it, control it, the workload. But he'll be getting his days off. He's a strong man, though, young man that I think he can handle it. But to your point, it's an adjustment. It is. And every day you're seeing a major league pitcher. So he's going to have his ups and downs. There's no getting around it. And it's going to be up to me to help protect him.
Obviously, already this season, and of course, last season, I think y'all have done an excellent job with the next man up mentality. I was curious, what are you hoping to see from Davis Wenzel, and what do you think he could provide for the team?
Well, I'll start with defense. Yeah, that's what I'd look at probably as much as anything when we're bringing somebody up. I just think you got to have a good defender out there that's not going to hurt you. He's a plus defender. He can play third, short, second, first base. We're looking at him doing a nice job there. Now he's going to provide some power. You know, he showed it last year in Round Rock, you know, with the 30 home runs, whatever. And you know, he got really good numbers against lefties. So it can be a platoon-type situation, maybe not completely, but pretty close to it, similar to what we had last night. That works. This kid's been impressive. The last two springs I've seen him, I just love the way he plays the game. He's got a nice clock. You know, I'm talking about game awareness in him that it works. So he's all-around good ball player.
He takes the roster spot of Justin Foscue, who also fought hard to get back to get with the big club, and then he has to go on the injured list. Does your heart kind of break for him in this situation?
Gosh, I was stunned that it happened. You know, it happened to swing before his base hit, and I had no idea until the next day. And I know he felt it. But he's probably hoping at the same time, well, I'm going to get up tomorrow. It's going to feel good. And it didn't. So, yeah, you feel for the guy. Yeah, he gets up. He gets a base hit. His first major league hit. He's starting the next day with the left-hander going. He's been told. And shows up, he can't play. And, you know, I'm sure his family's here. So that's a big blow. I mean, he's worked hard to get to this point. And I'm just amazed at the number of injuries, not just us, everybody's dealing with. A lot of these obliques, of course, the pitchers with the elbows. But, you know, calf injuries, I mean, it's just you're seeing it more and more in today's game.
Coach, I'm kind of curious about, we have a luxury of being able to watch the game as a fan, and watching Nate Eovaldi on the hill is just an absolute blast. The dude, he'll get into a jam and then he gets out of it, and we're like cheering for him like that. I know you cheer for these guys that way, but you also have a lot of things that you have to take into account during this thing, you know, while it's all going on. When was the last time, or do you still find yourself watching a game like a fan? You have those moments where you're feeling like, hey, I'm just kind of spectating here.
Oh, no doubt. I've said this. I appreciate the gifts and talents that these guys have. I mean, Nate, he is fun to watch. I love watching him. You know, his stuff, his command, his focus. He is just locked in out there. I mean, pitch to pitch. Our guys have learned so much about him. In fact, yesterday I saw him talking to Andrew Heaney. They're talking about pitching. He's pitching that day, and they're talking pitching and things. So, you know, he cares about his teammates, but really all of them. I mean, Dolly, of course, Seager, Marcus. I appreciate what, you know, what they can do. And I'm still a fan. I got a great seat to watch these guys, and it's you know, last year, of course, you can't beat watching what happened then.
So Bradford takes the ball today. His fastball this year is averaging 90 miles an hour. But I was telling these guys, if there was no radar gun, let's just go way back in the day, Boach, when you played, there was no radar guns in the building. Nobody knew how hard anybody was throwing every pitch. The hitter's reaction to Bradford this year is 97 miles an hour. That's what I'm looking at, is the there's late reaction to his fastball. It's getting on hitters. Can you explain, from being a former catcher and a manager, on how Bradford's fastball is playing a lot better than, let's say, the 90 miles an hour the radar gun says?
Yeah, it does. And I'll put Dunning in that boat, too, because he's, you know, 90, but it plays more than that. And a couple of things come into play, you know, extension that, you know, where you release it as far as to home plate. You know, some guys have a little longer extension. He's a big, tall guy, has that. But the biggest, I think, is deception. And, you know, he hides the ball well, and it, you know, comes out. They just don't pick it up as quick. And then you add, you know, they're conscious of that changeup, and now he's throwing more curveballs, so, but he elevates it well too. And so a high fastball, you know, it's always going to look a little quicker, and so does a good job of going up when he has to. So there's some variables involved with that. And, you know, sometimes you face a guy and throw 99, 100. I've heard hitters go, man, it doesn't look that hard. So deception is such a big part of pitching. That's why you see a lot of guys doing a lot of turning and twisting, trying to get that to make it look quicker.
Boach, can you tell from a catcher's standpoint when a guy who is deceptive isn't as deceptive that day? And can you give them a point from behind the plate of, hey, your glove side's opening up a little bit early, or something that is causing the hitter to see the ball better from a catcher's standpoint?
Yeah, I think what you just said is probably the biggest one. You know, they're just opening up. And so, you know, the hitter can see the ball and everything, where a lot of guys will take the ball from behind them. And, you know, I mean, our Chris Young, I got to talk about him. I mean, CY was not someone that bowled his way through him, but, man, it played so much quicker because – he came out from behind him, and he's a big guy. Big guys are usually long armor, so it's what they're kind of used to. But he was a short armor, and it just got on him. And I remember Pujols telling me, I just can't pick up the ball off of him. And so, you know, that's the biggest one, I think. It's just opening up, and then they can see the arm the whole time, where the ball's coming from. So, you know, they have the reference spot, so to speak, where to look every time.
And outstanding stuff, as always. Appreciate your time, and we look forward with catching up with you again next week.
All right, guys. Sorry about that mishap, but good talking with you.
No worries at all. There
happens
you go.
The best of us.
Texas Rangers World Champion Manager Bruce Bochy.